it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome to the Mile High Huddle Podcast with your football priests, Chad Jensen and Zach Kelberman. Remember, Broncos country is not a geographic location. It's a state of being.
Welcome in, everybody. It is the Mile High Huddle Podcast. I'm your host, Chad Jensen. With me, my fellow football priest, you know him, you love him, Zach Kelberman. Zach, here we are on Monday. I mean, obviously, the draft ended Saturday. People had time to kind of marinate on the draft on Sunday. But media-wise, you know, they all kind of gear up for their post-draft analysis to be released Monday morning, right? From the ESPNs to the NFL.coms to the NBCs, the Sports Illustrateds, the you name it. And overall, the Broncos have not been getting very good marks. What do you make of that, and how much should fans care?
That's how much I make of it. Absolutely zero. And again, maybe I'm the wrong person to ask, Chad, because my answer is always kind of the same when it comes to national media perspective about the Broncos. But you have someone like Todd McShay. I hope it's him. I don't want to, you know, discredit anyone. I'm pretty sure it was Todd McShay who called the Bo Nix pick arrogant because he supposedly talked to 10 teams that had Bo Nix as a second round pick. I don't care what Todd McShay has to say about the Broncos. I don't care what some random prognosticator has to say about the Broncos. I care about what Sean Payton thinks. Sean Payton wanted Bo Nix, and I can only speak for myself. I know you feel the same way, Chad. It's just exciting, and it's the right thing to do to finally have a potential franchise quarterback waiting in the wings.
Yeah, for what it's worth, he said that, yeah, it was McShay. At first I thought, well, wait a minute. Was he just passing on what someone in, you know, a draft, an NFL front office guy told him? No. McShay stated that Denver taking Nix was a, quote, arrogant pick. I mean, we got a couple articles coming on this here in the very near future at milehighhuddle.com from Nick Kendall. But Mel Kiper of ESPN, you know, the godfather of the NFL draft, gave the Broncos overall draft haul a C+. It looks like The Athletic's Dane Brugler, who is one of the most respected draft Knicks, does a lot of work, works his butt off. He at least does the work. Whether you agree with his analysis, that's a different thing. But he graded the Broncos as the second worst draft class in the NFL, Zach. And I think, you know, Broncos fans overall, it should be like water off a duck's back.
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily agree with the grades. I respect the analysts who are giving the grades, but if Bo Nix was an arrogant pick, then what is Michael Penix for the Falcons? You know, what are any of these other quarterback picks? What was J.J. McCarthy to the Vikings? Was that arrogant because they needed a quarterback? Of all the stupid comments that we've gotten on the Broncos draft, that might be the dumbest, Chad. And again, we can only go on our own opinion, our own analysis, and I think we know the team a little better than some of these national talking heads.
For a second there, you started talking about the Falcons. I'm like, easy, you're going to trigger Scott. Let's keep this nice and copacetic tonight.
That's why I turned his camera off.
Yeah, he's like, rage, camera off. But we're excited because tonight we have our next guest on the superstar segment. We've got David the Papa Bear McElrath. We're going to bring him on in just one moment, and it will be his debut on the show as a specific superstar segment. I don't recall, Zach, obviously he was there at the meet and greet this last fall, but I don't recall if he was a part of any of the streams. You know, we were rotating guys in, getting their takes on things and whatnot. But we're thrilled to talk with David. We're just going to grab this super chat real fast from Sam, and then we're going to bring on David. Sam, thank you, buddy. So good to see you. Appreciate the support. He says, greetings. Well, the draft has come and gone, and the Broncos got their hopeful franchise QB. Here's to hoping the Broncos are picking near the end of the draft next year and not thinking about taking a QB. Go Broncos. Hashtag Nixum. I love it. It's great. Not to be confused with Richard Milhouse Nixon. Nixum. Love it, dude. Thank you, Sam. And without further ado, let's bring on David because, you know, he goes by the Papa Bear. He's a very prominent member of the Broncos country community, and over the last few years has become a very prominent cornerstone member of the MHH community. So without further ado, here he is in the flesh, David McElrath, the Papa Bear. So good to see you, David. Thank you for making time for us today. Hope you're doing well, big dog.
I am, and good evening, Broncos country. I'm glad to be here with you.
Now, we want to get to a few things. I mean, some of these things I heard getting to know you in person when we were at the meet and greet this last fall, but the community hasn't. So there might be one or two questions where we'll have to oblige you to repeat yourself a little bit from the last time we were actually able to have a conversation with you. But first things first, though, before we get into that, what was your gut reaction to the Broncos taking Bo Nix at number 12 overall?
Outstanding. I personally think he was one of the best, if not the best quarterback in the draft. He has it all. He really, truly does. I've been a Knicks fan since the beginning, as you have, Chad. So I was really tickled with that. It's funny, I've been binge watching quarterback tape last week, and Knicks was better than any of them as far as I'm concerned. Very smart, very quick.
David, do you see the pick as an arrogant pick for Sean Payton, or do you think it was the right pick for Sean Payton? Just curious.
Sean Payton had moved up in the draft to get him. I'd say it was an arrogant pick. But to wait till 12? No, we had to. Raiders were right behind us, exactly. And they're looking for a quarterback as well. They didn't have a choice but to draft him at the 12.
Yeah, even if they thought they might be able to trade back in a perfect world and, you know, maybe get him at 19 – move back with the Rams or something. You couldn't when Atlanta screwed up the whole thing by taking Penix at number 8. But Bo Nix, yeah, I would argue, David, the most, as far as fit is concerned, like we can talk about, you know, arm talent. We could talk about athleticism. There might be other quarterbacks in this class that had more of those things than Bo Nix. But in terms of the complete package relative to fitting with the Broncos, my argument is, there wasn't a better quarterback in the class. I was absolutely stoked to see him take Bo Nix at number 12, but the Monday morning quarterbacks, they're out there. How does it make you feel when you see, you know, the Broncos draft class panned by whether it's Dane Brugler, whether it's what's his name? Mel Kiper, you know, as Zach mentioned, you know, Todd McShay calling it arrogant, et cetera.
It doesn't bother me any because I know the team. I've been a Bronco fan my whole life, literally. I've been through the worst times. When we won 3 games in the early 60s, we'd consider that a winning season, you know, to where we've been. And there's nobody – I respect Kliss a lot, but arrogant. He can't throw a long ball. Folks, I watched the tape too, and I saw something entirely different than you did.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company, serving collectors since 1945.
I promise you this, David, not just because I like you, I would take your opinion on the Broncos over the McShays and the Kipers because you know the team, and like you said, you've been a fan for pretty much your entire life. We have a comment from Danny Powers that I kind of want to tie in here. We can both get to it, Chad, but I want to get David's opinion. Danny says, do you guys think Bo Nix should start right out of the gate? Love you guys. I have my answer. David, what's yours?
Most definitely. That's what he's there for. And the fact that he's played in the environments he's played in, he's a plug and play. That's all there is to it.
By the way, Danny, thank you for the big boy stars throwing down huge on Facebook, and we love you too. You know this, Danny. Appreciate you. Should absolutely Bo Nix start ASAP? Yes. Will he? I do think he. I think Sean Payton understands that the sooner he gets him on the field, the better. Because, you know, as it relates to say David and Zach, you know, maybe what the learning curve might be, the trial and error process for say even these great, very talented quarterbacks like Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and even Penix. We know Penix isn't going to play right away, but even though you can argue, or there's an argument to be made anyway, that these different quarterbacks might have a stronger skill at this or that, or talent here, talent there, whatever. In terms of ready to play, there is not a guy more just ready to go. I mean, 61 career starts. That's an NCAA record. Not only that, you know, with the 61 starts comes the assumption that of experience, comes the assumption of maturity, comes the assumption of age. He's just ready to go, and I would be stunned. And it's not just for what it's worth, guys. It's not just that I think Sean Payton will just throw all caution to the wind and whether Jarrett Stidham's looking better or Zach Wilson and just start Bo out of the gates. I fully expect Bo Nix to quite quickly be the cream that rises to the top. I think it's going to be, David, quite evident right away that Bo Nix is the guy.
I 1,000% agree. I've watched his pressers, and I've watched the show he's on yesterday, and I'm impressed with the young man. I am. That's all I got to say. I mean, what he did in Oregon was unheard of. I mean, almost 5,000 yards and 65 touchdowns and 3 interceptions or something like that for last year. Tell me a quarterback can say that.
Yeah, I think it's really simple. You don't use the 12th overall pick on Bo Nix and then trade up for his collegiate receiver not to start him. So he better end up starting. And you know what? Being the 12th overall pick, he better end up doing better than Zach freaking Wilson and Jarrett freaking Stidham. I mean, he has the perfect situation, David, to walk into, and I think he'll walk into it week one pretty confident.
I totally agree. I mean, I've heard the talk that we don't have a talent on the Denver Broncos. I got news for you. One person can come into that locker room and change the whole thing.
That's right.
I think that's Bo Nix. I like his attitude. The teams he's played for love him beyond because he's that type of person. But he's a professional. He's somebody compared him to Tom Brady yesterday. I don't remember where I heard that from, but he's got a chip on his shoulders. He sure in the hell does. So he should be one of the top 5, not top 12.
Patrick over in Paradise in Hawaii saying, "Aloha, David. Very nice to put a face on the comments and insight that we see on the podcast." And yes, that's one of the things that we love about the way we podcast is we get to hear everybody's takes, like the community. You're David. Patrick, you're contributing to the conversation as much as we are on a day in and day out basis. And, you know, that comes from a knowledge of the team. And you touched on it just a moment ago, David, but your roots with the Broncos go way back. You've been a Broncos fan, as you say, your entire life. Really fast here. How did you become a Broncos fan? Like, tell us the story real quick.
Okay, I'll tell you the story. I was My father is a graduate of Colorado School of Mines. My mom had graduated from the University of Denver. That says enough by itself in itself. And we've been a Bronco fan that's the only football team I've ever known as a team member, as a fan. I've never followed anybody else.
We've got Mike Edel real fast jumping in. Thank you, Mike, for the generous super saying good evening, gentlemen. To heck with all the naysayers. Sorry, it just gets me fired up. It's okay, you're forgiven, Mike. I liked all the Broncos picks, especially Nix. On another quick note, Andy Reid wanted Paxton Lynch. Great job, Papa Bear. Go MHH, go Broncos, go Bo. Yes. Thank you very much, Mike. You know, we appreciate you, big dog. And we got to get you on the show one of these times here very, very soon if that's something you'd be interested in. Not everybody is. But if it is something, Mike, reach out to us. Real fast, grabbing this from the Lady D, who's jumping in. Very, very generous. Super. Wow. Thank you so much. Deanna, we got to get you on the show too. It would be a guest. She says, Bo will start. He's plug and play. Love the draft picks. Super happy with our QB. Hashtag MHH for life. I know Zach had a question for you. I just wanted to grab those supers real fast.
Absolutely. Yeah, I had two. And thank you so much, Deanna, as always. Thank you, Mike, as always. You brought up, though, David, the Colorado School of Mines. And I have to ask you, only because I wrote the article today, the School of Mines quarterback, John Matacha, is being invited to the Broncos rookie minicamp next week. 57-game starter. He won 50 games. He's the Division II all-time touchdown passing leader. Three-time Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference Offensive Player of the Year. Is there any sort of emotional investment to that, David, or you really don't care? You have your quarterback now.
Well, I got my quarterback, but Colorado School of Mines football program is coming a long, long way.
Yeah.
From when my dad was in college, football was nothing. It was a school. They took everything serious about engineering and what have you. So if he happens to find a way on our team, I'd be more than happy to take him. But, yeah.
That was kind of a throwaway question. I just had to put it out there. Number two for you, seriously, what was your favorite? Obviously, Bo Nix, I'm assuming, is your favorite draft pick the Broncos had. What was your second favorite?
Oh, that's such a tough one because I like a lot of the players. I'll tell you what my second one was, and he wasn't even a draft pick. The JFM. Trade of Myers. Not Myers, but the defensive line guy. I can't remember his name now.
You got it.
It's easier to just say JFM, you know.
JFM. And you're right. I watched his tape too. And he's got a motor. He doesn't stop.
Good player.
I mean, yeah, maybe he's another somebody compared him to – I can't think of it now. One of
like a DJ Jones?
Yeah, not DJ Jones, but Nick Benito.
Benito, okay.
Okay, but I don't think he's that. He's got a motor, and he's never missed a game.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
You know,
David, I got one more for you, and then we're going to let you go. And again, thank you for making time for us. And it's actually a two-part question. First part is, are you planning on coming to the meet and greet this fall? We don't have the date yet, but are you planning on making the trip?
I would like to.
Okay. Okay, this is good. Last question, though. As a lifelong fan, I mean, you referenced remembering what it's like to suffer through the three-win seasons in the Broncos of the 60s. But having been around for the entire existence of the team, what is your single favorite, most precious Broncos memory?
John Elway, the helicopter. I knew that when he did that we were going to win that game. We did.
Yeah, because there was that I'll speak for myself, but I think probably like a lot of Broncos fans in Super Bowl 32, even though it was right there and it was close, knowing that we were 0-4 in the Super Bowl, there was that sinking kind of feeling in the back of your mind, we're going to blow this at some point. But then that helicopter, you go, no, wait a minute. No. Elway can smell the blood in the water. He's that close. He ain't letting this one go.
That's right. Yeah. That was probably my favorite moment. I've always loved the team. I'm a defensive guy. I like defense. I'm a big guy. That's what I played was defense. So anyway.
Joe's saying we need two meet and greets. Let's make it happen. We might be able to do that.
That would be fun.
It's a lot of work to get them put together, but it's not so much that it can't be done. So we'll definitely keep that in mind. Thank you, Joe. Zach, anything left for David before we say good night to him?
I have to ask him, David, without saying 17-0, okay, it's not an option. Give us your Broncos record prediction for 2024.
11-6.
I like
Booyah.
It.
Booyah. Oh yeah, swinging for the fences. I love it. He is.
Nobody's giving us credit. I mean, they're already saying we got a C or worse draft grade. Wait until they see what we put on the field this year.
Exactly.
So exactly. Excited. It's going to be fun to break it down every night in the streams. Well, we look forward, hopefully, David, to seeing you again, you know, in the flesh this fall. And in between, of course, we'll be seeing you every night in the streams. But for both of us, thank you so much for everything you do.
Thank you, David.
For MHH, for the shows, I mean, it's not just our show. You're in almost every chat, almost every night, contributing to the conversation, throwing down supers, and just know that you are very, very appreciated and valued, and we're very fortunate to have you in our community. So thank you, brother, and thank you also for making time for us again tonight.
You're welcome. God bless, guys.
We will talk to you very, very soon. He is the Papa Bear, David McElrath, and love it, dude. I've been very much looking forward to having David on for tonight's show, and you know, a lot of fun. And he goes hard, dude. Like when he was at the meet and greet, you know, goes hard in the sense that he's very passionate about the Broncos, and he goes back to great lengths to support the team, and it's just really cool to see.
Yeah, he better be out there for the meet and greet this season. We have to have him, because anyone who hasn't come would love to meet David. He's a really great guy, and I didn't get to ask him, but I'm assuming he's a big fan of Sean Payton. You can tell their personalities are very the same. Not too, you know, cocky, but very confident in the Broncos, and I like to hear that, Chad, after so many people are crapping on them. Yeah. Predicting the third overall pick next year, or they're going to have a 2-win season. I like David's attitude.
I don't know. Maybe it has something to do with the way Bo Nix flamed out at Auburn. And that despite how prolific he was at Oregon, it just wasn't enough for some people it wasn't enough to disabuse some people of those memories, but it's like, hey, you know what? People grow. People develop, you know, and especially a guy like Bo Nix who approaches it with a professional's mindset, even when he was a college kid, you know, when he left Auburn, he wanted to go somewhere, according to him, where he could win a championship and continue to basically, Zach, build his NFL resume. And dude, I mean, this cat, 51 total touchdowns this past season. I mean, it's insane the production he had. And look, system, yeah, there is the system aspect of it, right? Which is another thing that people use to knock Bo Nix. But Sean Payton and George Payton, in fact, they had the cut-ups of him. Sean Payton told his story, just real quick Cliff Notes version of it. And he's like, hey, I want you to take out all the little bubble screens and the behind the line of scrimmage throws and let me see it, everything else. And he was impressed with what he saw from Bo Nix.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
There was actually a really interesting tidbit in Albert Breer's story for SI.com today. I want to give you the, because you brought it up, Chad, I want to give you a little tidbit there. Yeah. This is from Breer. To combat the criticism that Nix came from such a screen, quick game heavy offense, the Broncos eliminated throws tagged as givens from the evaluation, as they did with all quarterbacks. From there, Payton got extensive, expansive, advanced stats that elevated Nix above his peers. He was first in 2-minute drills and eating points, end of half 2-minute drives, critical fourth quarter 2-minute drives, fourth quarter 2-minute, and most importantly, negative play differential. He was also second to Spencer Rattler in red zone passing. So for all the naysayers and the skeptics and the haters that think the Broncos are going to win 2 games, they just won 8 games with Sean Payton and a quarterback who did not fit Sean Payton's system, a quarterback that was breaking down as the season went on. Now, around the quarterback, Chad, tell me really from a personnel standpoint where the Broncos got worse, except maybe for safety with Simmons. Where do they really get worse? So you're already taking the foundation of an 8-win team, another year of Sean Payton, and putting a better quarterback under center who fits with him, more explosive receivers and weapons. I don't see a top 5 pick. I see closer to something what David was saying, you know, maybe pushing for a surprising winning record.
Dude, you know, Cody, hang tight. I'm about to get to you, big dog. I'm glad you brought that up and his red zone proficiency, because as I mentioned last night, I can't really explain it. I don't know why, but over the weekend, I went on this Jay Cutler memory binge where I was just watching a bunch of his old Broncos highlights and stuff like that. And anyway, if you go and watch him, I mean, so many of them are tight, you know, in other words, in the red zone, right? And boom, touchdown, boom, touchdown, boom. The last 5 years, dude, it's been brutally painful. The Broncos are one of the worst red zone teams. And even last year, That did improve a little bit under Sean Payton, but Russell Wilson was so bad in the red zone, which is crazy because he used to be, I mean, in Seattle, he had many, many years where he was a killer in the red zone, but I just love that about Bo Nix. And I think it's going to move the needle quite palpably. It's going to be easy. People aren't going to wonder. Cody, thank you, bro. He says they gave Nix the reins at Oregon to change plays at the line. He can read a defense. The kid is ready. His stats show he can play ball. Agreed, my friend. I think people are going to be, and even those Broncos fans, Zach, who are a little bit doubtful still because they're hearing some of the negative feedback, they're going to be pleasantly surprised. And the Papa Bear, after joining the show, jumping into the chat and throwing down a generous super chat. Thank you, David. We love you, big dog. Right back at you. Appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you so much, David. And to the point about Bo Nix, you know, you talked about it earlier, five-year starter, been through the ringer at Oregon, came from Auburn where he started off rocky. He's the son of a former quarterback. He has it in his bloodlines. He's super mature for his age, Chad. He talks and acts like he's a 10-year NFL vet. So the sooner he plays, the better. This is not a situation where he needs a year on the bench. This is a situation where a player is only going to get better by getting those live action reps on the field. And that is why he is your week one starter, barring injury. That I'm knocking on wood about.
Indeed. Again, Papa Bear, thank you. Thank you, big dog. We've got DTR in the house jumping in to say, just showing love for the best Broncos podcast. And Sir David, a massive supporter and loyal member of Broncos country. Go Broncos. Nix for six. I like that. Hashtag Bo Knows. I love it. We're going to have plenty to sink our teeth into, Zach, in terms of creative little catchphrases to support Bo Nix.
My favorite is Big Nick's energy. I'm a fan of that one.
Oh, Danny jumping in again, saying, I agree with you guys 100%. Hope to see him start week one. So is Nick's number one or what? Last I heard or saw, he will represent number one. Has there been an update on this today, Zach? Because as far as I know, outside of holding up the number one jersey during his intro presser, which signifies number one pick, first round pick, not necessarily that's my jersey. We learned, though, Tremont Smith is no longer the number one, even though he's still listed on the site, on the Broncos roster, on their website as the number one. One is available, 18, can't take it. 7, can't take it. 16. Meanwhile, Zach Wilson, 3 days into his existence as a Bronco, takes number 10. I think by the time the dust settles, that's going to be the jersey Bo Nix wears.
I happen to think 16 should be off limits to the Hall of Famer Kendall Hinton. Let's all respect greatness there, Chad. But when it's all said and done, Zach Wilson has to give it up. I'm surprised the Broncos, as much as they love Bo Nix going into the draft, would even assign Zach Wilson number 10s. But I think he'll be wearing that come week one.
It smacks to me of one hand not washing the other, right? Like Peyton and Peyton so focused on the draft, like some kind of an administrative decision was made that they thought normally would just be an automatic thing. Don't bother the coach. Don't bother the GM over this. But it was probably something they missed. Oh, wait a minute. We're real low on numbers under 20. And the guy that they're very probable, I mean, they might not have been privy, Zach, to all of the conversations within the Broncos war room leading up to the draft. But you would have literally had your head in the sand to have not known the Bo Nix to Denver thing was more than just a possibility. Like, it was a strong probability. Ron, good to see you, bro. Love you. Michael Ronquillo.
It was such a strong probability. I mean, if you read the Breer article, it's very illuminating. And the Broncos kept it so hush-hush. They were worried about others talking about Nix and connecting him to the Broncos. They wanted it to be a complete secret. They even wrote the quarterbacks' names they preferred on their big board in some random corner as to not stoke bias, even though they already knew who they wanted. So they rolled out new jerseys, Chad. They're trying to make some money, as they should. I don't see why they wouldn't give Bo Nix number 10.
Yeah, you gotta make him feel the love and start off on the right foot. And especially in today's day and age, Zach, where they changed the number thing a few years back. And, you know, you've got players that are everything from PS2s, a corner rocking a number 2 to, you know, it's just all over the place now. Antonio, brother, good to see you. Antonio is a longtime Super Chat superstar here at MHH. Yeah. Love it. Stoked to see you tonight, big dog. He says, super happy walking out of the draft with a quarterback. I can see us having a winning season this year. Hashtag Broncos country. I mean, I can see it as somebody who manages a very large Broncos platform and has a very popular podcast. You know, I'm probably going to choose my words a little bit in terms of trying to create an expectation of, like David said, you know, 11 wins, but I could see it because I do think Bo Nix is basically ready all just to hit the ground running. And this was a good point that was brought up in an article today by Nick Kendall, who was writing about, I think it was Rosenthal of NFL.com. Yeah. But he brings up, because Rosenthal mentioned, in fact, I'm just going to read this to you real fast. Okay, this is Greg Rosenthal of NFL.com. Quote, Bo Nix is the first quarterback that a Sean Payton team has ever drafted in the first two rounds. Payton was infamously close to taking Patrick Mahomes in 2017 when he was coaching in New Orleans, but the difference between Mahomes and Nix are stark. Nix struggled when pressured in college and doesn't have an imposing skill set. He profiles as the type of player who usually gets taken in the third round, which is often where the sixth quarterback gets selected. This year, that sixth quarterback went number 12. One last thing from Rosenthal. Quote, Payton is incredible at maximizing quarterbacks, but in this instance, it's hard to imagine any other team valuing Nix so highly as the Broncos did. Broncos ignored other pressing needs to take him. Instead, they could have traded down to address those needs and still ended up with Nix. It's worth wondering if Payton just set a ceiling on this Broncos era, even as he's trying to get it off the ground, close quote. It's like, dude, are you kidding me? You don't think the Raiders were taking him at 13? But the point here, the reason I quoted, I wanted to read this, is that, you know, he kind of contradicts himself. Payton is incredible at maximizing quarterbacks. Look no further than what the work he did just this past season with Russell Wilson, going from 16 touchdowns, 2022, Zach, to 26 is one example. Just the latest.
My only question is, who's Greg Rosenthal? Why should I care what he has to say? Again, this is, he's not even in Mel Kiper's stratosphere in terms of analysts that we should respect and take their analysis as gospel. I don't really care if he thinks it's not a great pick. We know what we feel, Chad, and we have the pulse of the fan base like David and so many others. Lawrence Rivera, $2 super hopping in. Thank you, Lawrence. What's Bo's negative, though? You got to say both. I don't know if that was in response to my little blurb that I read from Albert Breer. I wasn't, you know, giving a positive only report on Bo Nix. I was just giving you what Albert Breer wrote and showing you how much the Broncos like him. But we've talked about, Chad, Bo's, you know, I guess yellow flags as a prospect for months now, and in terms of what he, I guess, can't do at the NFL level. Though again, and I said this last night, so many people, and fans included, fall into the cult mindset of they see one narrative or one take and they run with it. But if you do your own research and you watch the tape, just like David did, you would see a quarterback in Bo Nix that can do pretty much everything an NFL quarterback is asked to do, and especially in a Sean Payton system. Those who say he can't throw deep, there's multiple highlight videos of him throwing a 60-yard bomb in stride to Troy Franklin. Look at my Twitter account. So do your own research, Lawrence.
So I'll say this, because I think his arm strength stuff is grossly not only over, just way exaggerated, but like, frankly, to a fictitious level. The big thing that Bo Nix needs to work on, it was brought up by Rosenthal about his execution under pressure. It's not that he panics and like, you know, Sam Darnold style or whatever and goes, oh, I'm seeing ghosts and make a bad decision. It's that in those situations, he's not as disciplined with respect to his foundation technique-wise with his footwork and all that stuff. You know, short-arming when the blitz is about to get to him, you know, not just standing tall and delivering through technique, strong platform, and everything kind of like sidearm. And that kind of stuff will get coached out of him by Sean Payton in a hurry. Casey Nickel, what's up, bro? So good to see you. We got to get you back on the show here in the near future, big dog. He says, let's go, Bo. Listen, we got a professional, not concerned about his brand more than the team. Bo for show. I love it, dude. Bo for show. That's a good t-shirt idea right there. Love it, Casey. And yeah, that's refreshing, right? Zach not having a quarterback that seems to be more concerned about his personal brand, etc., than he is production on the grass. I mean, you got the platitudes from Russ. You just didn't get the corresponding production.
It's like when you get out of a toxic relationship, you just feel so much more free, Chad. You just, you're, you know, like everything smells better, tastes better. It's the roses are rosier. But speaking of Russell Wilson, Rock Chalk, $10 super. Thank you so much, Rock Chalk. Rumors of the Broncos trading Courtland Sutton to the Steelers are swirling. I did see that earlier. I think it was Bryant McFadden who reported that the Steelers GM was working on something big. And as we know, Chad, the Steelers have been connected intimately to Courtland Sutton over the last few weeks. I'm surprised if a deal is getting done that it wasn't done during the draft, but it seems like there's some there, and it could be where Marvin Mims becomes the Broncos wide receiver one, unless another move is made. That'd be quite the bold move.
Yeah. So there is a buzz going about that the Broncos are working on a big deal that's going to land a quote significant playmaker. And that is, you were right, Zach, according to Bryant McFadden. And based on the previous buzz and rumors, a lot of people are connecting that to Courtland Sutton, because Zach, you even had an article for us, I don't know, a week before the draft. Courtland Sutton could land, you know, rumor that he could reunite with Wilson in Pittsburgh. But it doesn't, we'll see what happens. And what I'm about to say is obviously, Zach, no guarantee that Sutton does not get traded, but if you just made a big investment in a young quarterback, probably not the greatest idea to turn around and trade away the one receiver who could, you know, help bring him along the most. Like, of all of his skill sets or the benefits of having a Courtland Sutton, and I get it, he's not exactly happy right now, didn't go to voluntary OTAs, but the benefit he brings to the table outside of just his production is he's a proven guy that can take less than ideal passes, less than ideal situations, whatever, and still make hay, you know, maximize them. I mean, this is a dude that went to the Pro Bowl in 2019, Zach, catching passes from three starting quarterbacks. So it would be weird to see it happen, because I can't imagine Broncos would get anything more out of Sutton than maybe a fifth round pick. To me, he's more valuable on the team than a fifth round, sixth round pick, whatever, in 2025.
Well, if they want him now and it's for 2025 and not 24, I'm asking for more. I want at least a third round pick for Courtland Sutton. If that's not doable, then I'm just keeping him on the roster. And like you said, giving the young quarterback another weapon. My only counter to that, Chad, is you wonder, you don't want the receiver, the diva, poisoning the well, so to speak. Courtland Sutton has been unhappy, I think, for quite a while. And, you know, the Jerry Jeudy trade, I think, stoked those fires. You might have to consider, is it best to, for the Broncos to move on, start over, and have no more toxic or cancerous attitudes in the locker room?
That's true. You know, if Sutton can't get his mind right, you got to excise that or tamp it down, find a way to muzzle it, because it can become cancerous. So I think if you just guaranteed more of his contract in 2024, he'd be a happy camper, for what it's worth, but time will tell. The Duchess jumping in, so good to see you, Michaela, tonight. She says Nick's didn't have a rocky start in Auburn. He was a freshman year, I think she meant to say like a starter freshman year, but let's just put it this way, things didn't go as well for him at Auburn as he hoped. And honestly, if he would have stuck it out or tried to enter the draft based on, Zach, his body of work at Auburn, he doesn't become a first-round pick in all likelihood. He needed that additional 2 years playing at a high-level production, in a high-level production offense that not just produced yards and points and all that stuff for coaches to sink their teeth into, but the translation in the standings. You know, Oregon did win a lot of games with Bo Nix.
Exactly. And Scott points out that Bo won SEC Freshman of the Year at Auburn. So, I mean, rocky start comparative to where he is now, Michaela, as a prospect. I mean, the scheme at Oregon, the stats he put up, he put himself on the map. Whereas in Auburn, he was like just another guy in a long list of them.
Yeah. So maybe a better way to have put that was a promising start at Auburn only to kind of flame out, right? Not able to kind of sustain the momentum, etc. But it doesn't matter. Like he said, you know, when he was asked about arm strength doubters and all this at the podium on Friday, he's like, hey, you know what? It's all in the past. Bottom line is I am where I was supposed to be. I landed in the perfect place and I'm focused on the future. So, but you know, for us fans, media, we're here, we're talking about every little angle. We're going to analyze it all. So But I'm glad you brought that up, Michaela. Xander jumping in. What's up, bro? And by the way, we're at about coming up on 40 minutes. So we're getting on toward the end of tonight's stream. Any burning topics, questions, get it in the chat. Xander says, y'all out west in Colorado might not get this one, but Alabama, Georgia will. It's bow time. Give it pound? Hashtag? Naughty word? I'm not sure. But
make it a hashtag,
Scott. I'm sure he's talking about Bo Jackson, right? I mean, that would be my guess, but thank you, bro. Aaron jumping in. Great to see you, Aaron. Screw him. Out with the old, in with the new. Bye. I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what Aaron's talking about here, but probably the Russ thing, I guess, Sutton. When I brought up Russ, I don't know.
It's got to be Cortland Sutton. I'm assuming Aaron.
Or, but yeah, Sutton, right.
Let us know.
Got to get his mind right. Get his mind right. But I still think more valuable to the Broncos on the roster than as a future mid-round pick. We got Danny. I really don't care about what all these doubters have to say about Nick. I think he's going to prove a lot of people wrong. I hear you, dude. I'm right there with you. A Cody Dub. Sutton unhappy, I hear. Higgins isn't happy. Zach, you're nodding your head. You know something about this?
T. Higgins out there, I'm assuming. I don't know. This is all very cryptic, these comments, Chad. I'm assuming T. Higgins out there in Cincinnati, he wanted a big deal. He might get traded. The Steelers were in the market for him and Tyler Boyd and Cortland Sutton. I heard Brandon Ayuk and Debo Samuel. I heard DK Metcalf. Whole bunch of receivers out there for the taking.
Right. Okay, Keith, what's up, brother? And Keith, going to be on the show next week. Really stoked. He says, what are your projections for Jonah Ellis, which, of course, the Broncos' third-round pick out of Utah, edge rusher. What's your pro comparison? What does it mean for the edge room and Sanders? In case you missed it, it really seems like the Broncos are going to move forward with Drew Sanders as an edge, more so than an off-ball guy. And I think my projection for Jonah Ellis, in all honesty, is he comes in and he's a rotational pass rusher because you've got now two guys. They might be, Zach, more Robin pass rushers than true Batman pass rushers. But in Baron Browning and Jonathan Cooper, you do have two experienced veterans now on the edge. They project as your starters still, as long as, you know, Browning in particular can stay healthy. And then, of course, Nick Benito proved that, hey, man, I'm a force to be reckoned with as a pass rusher. If he could get his act together on first and second down, then he would be a starter. He would start over Jonathan Cooper, for example. But I project Jonah Ellis to be a rotational guy, definitely making the roster, definitely going to see some time. But I don't think they'll try to put too much on his plate. Unfortunately, in his case, and I hope he develops into more, he's kind of more of what they already have, which is
right.
Situational pass rush guys, not a true dominant game changer guy on the edge.
Yeah, exactly. Can't disagree with anything. Almost word for word. I was going to say, at least starting out, his pro comp is his new teammate, Nick Benito, a designated pass rusher who's good on third downs, but could stand to bulk up and develop on early downs. What it means for the edge room is that obviously he'll be in the mix probably as the primary reserve. And for Drew Sanders, Chad, they're so weak at inside linebacker now. Why toy with this idea any longer? You drafted him to be an off-ball. Just make him an off-ball instead of going into the season with Cody Barton and Alex Singleton as your starters.
I mean, for what it's worth, according to Mock Draftable, all right, Jonah Ellis shares 92.7 percentile of his measurables with former Bronco Jeff Holland. You guys remember him from Auburn? The pass rusher that never was. He's highly comparable from a measurable standpoint to Noah Spence. D Ford is probably like the most accomplished name, which is saying something here in terms of what he compares to. But from just an overall impact, I concur with my part here. Very similar to Nick Benito, kind of a one-trick pony that needs to grow and develop. Brandon Williams, just pitching in tonight. Don't get to contribute that much, usually on the road to a job while I'm listening. Well, thank you, bro. Very kind of you. Great to see you. And contribute to the convo. If you got any questions, too, we'll be happy to get them. So thank you, Brandon.
Thank you, Brandon.
Okay. we are about out of time. I think we have gotten, Zach, all the main topics for tonight. We got the quarterback. We touched on that talking with David, but was there anything more you wanted to mention about the Colorado School of Mines quarterback the Broncos bringing in on an invite to compete in rookie minicamp?
It's just funny because someone asked us, Chad, a few months ago about Metacha, if he could be the answer. And I didn't know much about him, but looking into him today, I mean, his stats are incredible. I mentioned he went 50-7 as a starter, threw for more than 15,000 yards, 162 touchdowns, and only 28 picks. He had another almost 2,000 yards and 28 touchdowns on the ground. He's only 5'11" and 180 pounds. And he was talking about his play style. I found a quote from December, according to the Denver Gazette. He goes, "It's the drive to win. Knowing myself and the limitations I have, in order to compete, I have to give everything I have. I have to lay it on the line." For a rookie minicamp invite, even though the Broncos are stacked at quarterback, I love this dude's attitude, and I hope he gets a chance to show what he can do.
That's right. I forgot that we did get asked about him. Wasn't it Lawrence Rivera that brought him up, I want to say? But what's cool about guys like him is, you know, he passed through the draft, didn't hear his name called. Broncos are bringing him in. But one of the reasons they're bringing him in is, you know, small school level of competition, small division level of competition. But did you dominate that level you were in? If you did, then you're worth a look-see. And that's why the Broncos are going to kick his tires early May.
At this point, I'll take him over Ben DiNucci. I would take anything with upside over Ben DiNucci. And we'll see how it shakes out, Chad. That and the running back room, at least in rookie minicamp, are going to be a battle.
Guys, this has been a fun conversation. Always so fun to chop it up with one of the key members of our superstar community like David. We got a few messages for you, though, guys, and then we're going to dip out.
Another 45 minutes just flies by. I don't know how. Oh, but I do. You guys are incredible. Thank you so much. Another great episode of the Mile High Huddle podcast. If you're not doing so, please follow us on Twitter at the MHH Pod. You can follow the main account on Twitter at Mile High Huddle, Chad at Chad N. Jensen, myself at Kelberman NFL, and Scott, our producer, at Scout Kennedy. If you guys want some merch like we're rocking each and every podcast, check out mhhmerch.com and get you some. Also, drop us a like at facebook.com/milehighhuddlepod. You can also find us on Instagram at mile_high_huddle. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, make sure you're leaving your football priest a 5-star review for a chance to win some merch each and every single month. But if anything, y'all, please subscribe, like, and share this video and every video you see on the MHH channel. It really helps us grow and reach more Broncos fans just like you.
A Mile High salute and special shout out and props to the great Super Chat superstars and supporters tonight, helping us keep the lights on. I'm going to start with David since he joined the show. Thank you, bro. The Duchess, Michaela Parker, we got the Lady D, Deanna Hendry, Sam Bam leading the way. Before I forget, there was a super chat last night that for some reason did not pop up on StreamYard for us. It just wasn't literally in the stream for us to see. And I wanted to give that person a shout out, but I got to remember who it was. Stand by. It was Flazify. Flazify, when you hear this, I'm sorry we missed your super chat. We'll try to make it up to you, big dog. But Danny Powers, thank you. Mike Edel, Cody Dubb, DTR, Antonio, Lawrence Rivera, The Ronk, Casey Nickel, Rock Chalk, let's see, Xander, Aaron, Cody Dubb, Brandon Williams, Keith Brugman, much love and respect. Appreciate each and every one of you. Can't wait to talk with you all again on Thursday night.
We will see y'all then. Have a great start to your week. Take care, and as always, go Broncos.
Head on over to milehighhuddle.com for all things Broncos.
The headlines remind us daily, the world is a dangerous place. The elites in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing. But you know better, and your gut knows that time is short to prepare for a world that is 4 missed meals away from chaos. My Patriot Supply has helped over 3 million families become more self-reliant and is the company Americans trust to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contain delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Secure at least one food kit for each family member.
For a limited time, save $200, plus get free shipping on all their Ready Hour 3-month emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour Foods. My Patriot Supply also has solar power generators, water filtration units, biomass stoves, heirloom seeds, and critical survival gear. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.